So we begin here with Sif Yud Beis on page 28. That's Hilchas Tzitzis Siman Ches Sif Yud Beis. Im Yeshlo Kama Begadim Shal Arba Knafos. So he has many different begadim. Is Kulam Chayovim B'Tzitzis. Each one is Chayiv in Tzitzis. So let's just think what the Chiddush here of the Mechaber is. So you might think the following, that if we define tzitzis in a way that's what I call classic, if tzitzis is not an exception to the rule, if it's like any other mitzvah, then once he has tzitzis on one beged, then he was yotzei the mitzvah of tzitzis. Right, there's a machlokas in the Gemara in Menachos about whether tzitzis is a chovas talis or if it's a chovas gavra. If it's a chovas talis, then I understand that every single talis has to be equipped with tzitzis. But if it's a chovas gavra, then l'chora, once he puts on tzitzis on one of his begadim, he should be yotze the mitzvah. He doesn't have to put tzitzis on every single beged. Again, if we would have paskin tzitzis as a chovas talis, then it means the talis requires tzitzis. But we paskin it's a chovas gavra. For example, the Gemara says that the man Yomer who says chovas talis would mean that even if he's not wearing the beged, but it has four knuffos, it's called a beged, it's royal levisha, even if he's not wearing it, he has to equip it with talid knuffos. But the Gemara says no. The mitzvah of tzitzis is levisha. So if it's levisha, if he wore one beged that had tzitzis on arba knafos, then he was yotzei yischiyuv as a chovas gavra. Why does he have to put tzitzis on every one of his begadim? Mechaber says kulam chayovim b'tzitzis. So it sounds like the mechaber understands tzitzis in two different dimensions. One dimension is as far as the gavra is concerned, and he's obligated to wear tzitzis. As far as he's concerned, if he puts tzitzis on one beged which he's wearing, he's yotze. But then there's an isur, you're not allowed to wear a beged of four knuffos without tzitzis. That's already inherent in the beged. Again, it's all part of the levisha, meaning we start with the chofes gavra, because you wear it, and once there's a chofes gavra, that generates a chova to put tzitzis on the garment. But now, once there's a levisha, then we have to make sure that there's tzitzis on every single beged, because the Torah is now saying that the beged itself that you're wearing has to be equipped with dalid tzitzios. And it's not enough to just be yotzei the chovas gavra of wearing one beged that has tzitzis. Every single beged unto itself, insofar as it's dalid knafos, and he's wearing the beged. Again, if you hold chovas talis, then even if he uses it as a tablecloth, he has to equip it with tzitzis. You don't need levisha, but we hold chovas gavra, that the maisa levisha generates the chiyuv. Once the maisa levisha generates the chiyuv, it sets up a chiyuv in the cheftz of the beged. And every beggar that was included in his levisha, because he wore many begadim, and now is enhanced, so to speak, with the status of a chiyuv tzitzis. And if he were to wear that beggar without tzitzis, he's being mevatel the mitzvah tzitzis. So that's also, you know, you can't, there are all sorts of issues. Let's say somebody is walking in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, and there's no Erev, and he's wearing tzitzis, then all of a sudden his tzitzis rip, or he finds out that his tzitzis are possible. So what does he do? Because he's carrying Shusarab on Shabbat. Yeah, we might have to ask him to take off his beggar. So it's pretty, and you might ask, well, but he has another beggar with tzitzis on it, so who cares about this one? Either of them. Because each beggar needs tzitzis, that's why he's not considered carrying the tzitzis on Shabbat. In other words, why aren't you carrying tzitzis on Shabbos? Because it's a mitzvah of tzitzis. If there's no mitzvah of tzitzis, then you carry.
Does one makayim the mitzvah of tzitzis if he only wears just one beged with tzitzit, while other begadim.
If he doesn't have begadim on the other tzitzit, he's in a very paradoxical situation. On the one hand, he's mekayim the mitzvah tzitzit because chomus kava vis-a-vis that beggar that has tzitzit, but he's also at the same time being mevatel the mitzvah of a beggar that he's wearing without tzitzit because it has dalad kafis, and there's a kind of a prohibition. I don't know if it's exactly a lav, but it's maybe a bitul essay in every beggar that doesn't have tzitzit. So the more begadim you wear that are four cornered, the more careful you have to be to make sure each one has tzitzis that are ksheros. You know, they say about Rav Scheinberg that he wore 64 pairs of tzitzis, right? So for him, I don't know exactly how he managed this, how he engineered it, but he would have to make sure that every single begad had tzitzios ksheros. Imagine if begad number 35 has ripped tzitzis. Then vis-a-vis that beged, he's liable for a bitul essay. Because every one of the begadim that he's wearing are chayiv in tzitzit. Did you ever see Rav Scheinberg? He looked like a football player. Right.
Yes.
You know? He had all these tzitzits on.
Was it the Brisker who held about the Tal Katan was not really a beged and he wouldn't wear it on Shabbos? Is that the...
Well, I don't know about Tal's Katan as much. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was the Tal's Katan. I thought it was because of the Man Yom who says that Tchelis is Ma'akavis Alavu. We don't pass it like that, Man Yom.
My wife's cousin's husband. He doesn't wear he doesn't put on a Tal Katan.
Is he from is he from Chicago?
He's from Chicago.
Ah, so then that explains. Yeah, Rabbaran Salvechi did not wear tzitzis on Shabbos.
Right.
Again, Rav Salvechik himself had a whole discussion about this. He held it was not because of tchelis. That wasn't the issue. But then that's why I think what you say about a talis cut might be correct. The imlevasham kulam below hefsek. So remember the case that we had. We have many behemoths, and you want to do a shechita on each one of them. And you know up front that when you're making the bracha on the first shechita, you're going to continue non-stop without any interruption to check the other behemoths. Is one bracha covers all? Here too, below hefsek, he's not going to be mafsik after the bracha when he puts on the second beggar, the third beggar, the fourth. Hayadaita mitchilal kula. Lo yivarech ella bracha achas. One bracha is going to cover all these different levishos. But again, everything is conditional on the fact that there's a tziruf here, that you link together all the different begadim. And how do you do so? Because daito mitchil al kulam. But he mafsik beneim. Okay, it's very nice that he had das al kulam, but then he takes a break in the middle. Now, exactly what we mean by hefsek, we'll have to see. One possibility is hefsek would be that he goes into the bathroom, or he visits his uncle, and then he comes back. You know, he goes to the hospital, and then he comes back and wants to put on another beged. That's already a hefsek halicha and so forth, and maybe even zman itself might be a hefsek. What about sicha? So the Mishnah Berurah is going to address the case of sicha when he schmoozes between one beged and the other. And the Mechaber says, Tzorch Levarach, Al Kol Achas V'Yachas. So it's each begging is Mechaib and Bracha. It's a separate mitzvah. You can cover them all by one Bracha, as long as the Bracha is Mitzurah, it's connected to all these different Levishos. But if there was a Hefsek which wedges between the Bracha and this next Levisha, he's going to need a new Bracha. What is the nature of this Hefsek? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Im Sach Beintai. He had a discussion with someone in the middle, and it was lola tzarch levisha. It had nothing to do with the beggar itself. As if he said to someone, "Please pass me the beggar," that's not a problem. Like, pass me the salt, right? Avolim omar tnuli beged lilbo shukai gavna shula tzarch levisha ain tzarch lachzer ulevarech. That's understood. That a hefsek has to be something that's irrelevant. It's not l'tzarch hamitzvah. You know, I was always wondering how far you could go with this. Let's say you wash Netilas Yadayim, and let's say you're the Baal HaBas, you're the host, and there are many guests. So you're waiting for the guests, and you're very careful not to speak out because you don't want to make a hefsek between the Netil Sidaim and your bracha on the Lechem Mishnah. But now you notice that one of the guests doesn't have a chair. Are you allowed to say, bring him a chair? Notice, does it have to be, how close of a relationship does he have to have that it's Litzorech HaMotzi? What happens if he says, open the window, you know, because we'll be more comfortable? You know, at some point it becomes Sicha and not Litzorech. And I don't know, it's not always clear to me when you've passed that point.
Does it really matter? As long as it's not
Sicha is not Hesek Hadas. Sicha is a separate poster. Again, this is a tremendous machlokas Rishonim, but the Mishnah Berurah is going according to that shita that Sicha is a Hesek. And if Sicha is a Hesek, you've got a serious problem if you're schmoozing about something that's not Litzorech. But again, how broad of a concept is Litzorech? You know, can I always say that, you know, somehow it's going to enhance my, you know, if it's a mitzvah Achnosas Orachim. Yeah, but here the Achnosas Orachim is relevant to the Lechem Mishnah, and that's, we want to give him a piece, so we want to be seated at the table. Anyway, it's not clear in my mind. There's a whole vague bunch of cases where I don't know if it's the Tzorech or it's not the Tzorech. Okay, fine. V'hu adin, now we're up to the Machaber on the top of page 29, the equivalent. He says, V'hu adin im lo hoya b'dayto mitchilal kulam havi kemafsik b'neihem. Let's say he only had das, he intended to put on three begotten. Then he changed his mind, then he put on a fourth begging. So he never had das at the time of the bracha for the fourth begging. So that's like a hefsek. So let's try to understand what's going on. The first case of hefsek that we spoke about was sicha. Correct? What about shehiyas zman? Is that also a hefsek? So we're going to look at the Mishnah Berurah. First, you know what? Let's backtrack a little bit to the Mishnah Berurah number Chav Zayin. He says, "Kulam chayovim, ratzalomar im lov sham kulam, aval im unochim b'teivaso potur." You know this. You know, if you don't know the sugya in Menachos, you wonder what the Mishnah Berurah is telling me here. Obviously, if you have a tablecloth, you're not chayiv in tzitzis. You know, only chayiv in tzitzis when you're going to wear the begad. Oh, that's not so poshut. I mean, to us it's poshut because kaimelon we pass in tzitzis chovas gavra below chovas talos. Okay, we'll see that later on. Oh, mafsik beinehem. Right, he's going to need a new bracha if he is mafsik between one levisha and the other. He says that's hesek. That's called sach. Oh, one second. He doesn't say sach. Oh, sach is going to come a little bit later on. He says sach. I'm sorry, hesek hadas. Oh. Let's go slow. So he says first of all, what's a hefsek gadol? How do you gauge whether it's a hefsek gadol that requires another bracha? It's a hefsek gadol and it's hesek hadas. I mean, at this point, he's not identifying hefsek gadol in terms of quantity of time, a measurement of time. It's a hefsek gadol because he's distracting himself with some other preoccupation. He's occupied with something else. So how do you know if he's occupied with something else? It's a hefsek. We're not going to gauge it by time. We'll gauge it by hesek hadas, meaning was he distracted from the mitzvah of tzitzis? Avol b'shiyas man. What happens if he's not mesiach das, but he's just waiting around? It's going to take a while. Is then pasak habogid Avram u'sha'ori achronim lekamon b'siman reish vav tishasika. If he's quiet, lo chashiva hafsaka b'di'eved afilu imsha harbe yoser mikidei dibur. So we're talking about a case where he delays his bracha. I'm sorry, he delays his wearing of the second beged. When I say second, I mean the subsequent begadim. By what we call a shehiyav zman, a serious amount of time. So in terms of quality, in terms of quantity, this would be a hefsa. He says, nein, it's not a hefsa. Why? Because in order to be a hefsek, it has to be a hesek hadas. And shehiyah zman is not necessarily hesek hadas.
So examining the tzitzis, if you didn't do so beforehand, examining the tzitzis would not show we would not be a
hefsek. Right, that's not a hesek hadas. So if he's quiet, and therefore there's no hefsek sicha, if he's not Mesiach Das, he's still anticipating the next Levisha. But the only problem is it took him a while. There was a pause, an interruption of time between the first beggar that he put on and the second. In such a case, he doesn't make another bracha. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is claiming here. And the reason for this is because in order to create a Hefsek, it's not enough to have Shia Zman. You need either Hesek Hadas or you need Sicha, which is coming around the bend. So we're talking about Shah Harbe Yosem Mikidei Dibur, and when he finally gets that second Beged, just put it on. No bracha. But that's not called a Hefsek. He tells you to look in Simon Reish Vav. I have a feeling, I don't have this volume, that he's referring to Hilchos Shabbos and maybe to Kiddush. I don't know.
That's in a bit,
right? It's probably in Gimel, but let's see. Maybe we'll find it in Likud. Oh, good. Reish Vav. Ah, I made a mistake. We're not yet ready for Hilchos Shabbos. That's going to be in Chelik Gimel. This is the end of Chelik Beis. What does he say, Reish Vav? He says to look in Reish Vav. Am I right? Where is it? I lost the place. Yes, Simon Reish Vav. The Shtika Lo Chashiva Hefsei. So let's see if we can find this. He says Yivarech al Peros, etc. And fine. Ha'ilufanav. Okay. Kol Elu Abrachas. Oh, here it is. Kol Elu Abrachas. This is on page 229 in the Chelik Beit. He says that Kol Elu Abrachos. Tzar Shalo Yafsik Bein Bracha Lachiva. So he makes a bracha. He can't. He should not be mafsik between the bracha and the achila. Okay, so maybe shtika is a hefsek. Let's just see. Itzarch hashmiya li oznov. This is already something else. But where does he see here that shtika is not a hefsek? That's what I don't. Not al pribi yado, the ochlo berchlem and nafa. Okay. Not sure what he sees here. Let's just take a quick peek. I want to get back to Hilchos Tzitzis very quickly, but just to see if by chance he adds anything here. Let's see, Yud Aleph. Maybe that would be the one. Yud Beis. Yosef Mikdeh. Kedei Sheil Shalom. Hu Shalom Alev. Yosef Mikdeh. Hu Mayri B'Shtika. Avo B'Dibra Afilu Mila Achas. Havi Hefse. Imloya shalom tzarcha brocha. So here he says, if I understand correctly, that there is such a thing as a hefsek shtika. Let's read the Mishnah Berurah one more time. He says, "There's posak." I will be shehias man ma posak among in Avram sharachon lukam asima reish vav the shtika lo chashiva hefsek. Ah, this is the Magen Avram. The Ramah seems to say that shtika is a hefsek. And how long of a shtika was there? That's called Yoser mitoch kedei dibur.
But he doesn't write that here.
Right, because I think that's the Ramah, but I'm waiting for the Magen Avram. If I could find, the Magen Avram. Oh, here it is. Od yesh chiluk vein shesika ledibur. The bedibur li kuva mitzarch lachzol levar chav b'shtika hu rak lechatchila b'di'eved afilu shah harbe yosem mikdei dibur ein tzarch lachzor ulevarich kol shelo yisiach daito b'neihem. And let's see, you'd give Magen Avram. So again, in the Mechaber, you get the impression that if he was Shoeh Yosef Mikdei Dibur, even though it was B'shtika, then he would need another brach. He married B'shtika. He says it explicitly. And now he's saying no, that's only lechatchila. Lechatchila, shtika is considered a hefsek if it's kedei, you know, if it's yosef kedei dibur, and he's not, and even though he's not mesiach das, so that's not something that we want to allow. But if b'di'eved he waited quietly, silently, yosef kedei dibur, then b'di'eved we're going to allow for the bracha, the original bracha, to cover him. And that he quotes in the name of the Magen Avram. So it's interesting, when he says here to look at Siman Reish Vav, I think he's referring to the Magen Avram. That's what he said before. Shehi asman ma, posik Magen Avram, blah, 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 the shtika lo chashiva hefsek b'di'eved. Afilu shah yosef mikdei dibur, if he was not mesiach das. But in Sach Beinayim, Imayadi Lutzach Levisha, right, that we saw. But if it was not Lutzach Levisha, then the Mechaber is going to paskin, and so is the Magen Avram, that this is a real hefsek. But then he quotes at the end the Shita of the Taz. Let me get this down. But seems that according to the Taz, Sicha is not a hefsek. Oh yeah, this is the Rosh and Chulin. Let's see, does anybody quote the Rosh and Chulin? This is the Rosh and Chulin. The Taz is quoting the Rosh and Chulin. He doesn't mention it here, but what is the Rosh and Chulin? The Rosh and Chulin is saying that Sicha, in the case of Birchas HaMitzvah, should be equated to Sicha and Suda. Now, when you make the Amotzi Lech Min HaAretz at the beginning of a meal, that brach has to be relevant, has to be Mitzurah and related to all your Achilos. So let me ask you a question. If I start eating after I said Amotzi Lech Min HaAretz, and then I start talking about the baseball games, if Sicha is a hefsek, then the original bracha of Amotzi is not chal on that which I'm going to eat after the Sicha. So that's the question. And the answer seems to be that Sicha is not a hefsek. Hence the Taz derives from this halachic conclusion that if between one beged and another, or between one shechita and another, he starts schmoozing, he can still go ahead and shech, because sicha is not a hefsek. And haraya, because in Suda, Sicha is not a hefsek. That's the rush. And the Taz is built on the rush. You see it, the Havi Kamosh Shesach the Emtsa Suda. With the last few words on page 28. In the
when you're at the table on here, I mean, it's a umdenah out here by virtue of the fact that you're fine.
I'm not sure what you mean by udar, but it's natural for people to talk at a suda. It doesn't interfere with the suda. That's what suda means. Like for example, on sukkahs, you know, we have a mitzvah of suda, and we call it teshu kei taduru. So we can tell me I'm not allowed to speak in the sukkah. I'm going to live in the sukkah the way I live in my house. When I eat a suda in my house, I shmooze and I talk about different things. So he says that just like Sach Emtsa Suda is not going to be a hefsek, so to Sach be Emtsa Kama Shechita. See, but see, this group of Achronim, which he says is headed up by the Taz, seems to be ignoring an obvious distinction between Suuda and Brachos. In Brachos, every single beged is Mechayev of Bracha. And unless there's some sort of a tziruf between the bracha and the second levisha, then you have to make a bracha on the second levisha. In the case of suda, it's all one suda. That's the whole concept of being koveh suda alechem al pas. That suda will continue. That despite his sicha, even though he's talking in the middle of his suda, you have to be careful about talking in the middle of suda for other reasons, right? Shev yaktiv shkon elevation, but. Let's say he's taking a break in the middle of the suda and he wants to schmooze. I mean, don't we all do that? Here in Israel, we probably talk about politics. In America, you probably talk about the football games. Whatever it is, but in the middle of the suda, we start schmoozing. Just got to be careful that we say Divrei Torah at the suda. He says the following, therefore, after we have these poskim who claim that sicha, that sicha is not a hefsek, but mutav shelo lahachnis or likanes, maybe it should be besafek bracha. Don't throw yourself into the safek bracha mode. We're going to have two shittas here about whether he needs a new bracha on the third talus, the second talus, right? If there was a sicha between the two. So the first day is that sicha is not a hefsek. The second day says that sicha is a hefsek, with the exception of sicha b'emtsa suda. That's a different discussion. V'chein hiskim ha'prima gadol, v'chein yizor, on the top of page 28 in the Mishnah Berurah, kol adam shalol asua, because you don't want to get into this whole machlokes whether sicha is a hefsek or not. Therefore, it's best to avoid sicha. The imdiber ain chosim varp, but the evidence if he did speak, we're not going to require another bracha. The kolshkein sheizor shalol hafsek hefsek gadol sheasur ligrom bracha shein etzricha. He really has to rush here and put on the bgadim one after the other without delay. Because we said before that the hefsek gadol, if it's also a hesek hadas, he's going to have to make another bracha. You know, it's a funny kind of thing when you speak about bracha shein etzricha. In this context, I mean, he needs that bracha. I mean, he's been kind of the mitzvah of tzitzis on every beged. So when he gets to beged number two and number three, he needs a bracha. To say that's a bracha shein etzricha. The Mishnah Berurah understands that bracha shein etzricha means whenever I could have avoided the bracha becomes a bracha shein etzricha.
I mean, I think when you made the first bracha, you had in mind all the begadim, but nonetheless, if there was
right? He was shoiz man rav, so that's going to be an issue. Again, at the beginning he says that if he shor zman rav, but he wasn't mesiach das, then it's no problem. But do you agree that what the Mishnah Berurah is assuming here is that I have to do whatever I can in order to avoid a bracha? If the halacha, you know, like you say, he had das, you know, that he would put on many begodim. So the halacha allows for a mechanism by which I won't need the bracha. And it's not that the halacha is giving me, you know, is being merciful and giving me an option. No, the halacha is requiring me to do this so that I avoid a bracha shen tzricha. And if after he set up this whole mechanism, this whole framework where he could get away without a bracha, and then he went ahead and he destroyed it, he undermined it, and he made it into a bracha, then he made it into a bracha shen tzricha. Why'd you have to talk in the middle? Why'd you have to wait so long, you know? Okay. Now, is there anything left here in the Mishnah Berurah? What we did what? We did number Chaf Tes.
Okay.
So what are we up to? Lamed. Did we get to Lamed yet? Oh. Wow. It's not enough that he just has an empty mind. You know, his brain is empty. No, he has to have specific positive intention to be Yotze. To be Yotze for the second beggar. Havi kemafsik. Let's read the Mechaber first. For who had din, im lo yevedaito mitchila al kulam. So, what are we saying now? So again, it's not enough. See, that's why I always wondered. Let's say I had this shaila on Shabbos. The shatz is reciting Berachas HaShachar out loud. That doesn't. That's not always the case, but in many communities, that's what happens. Am I right that the shatz, when he gets up there, he recites Berachas HaShachar out loud? So somebody comes over to the shatz. This happened to me just on Shabbos, and he says, "Did you have me in mind?" Now, if you read this Mishnah Berurah number Chaf Tes, maybe the answer should be no. Why? Because stoma is not enough. You know, you have to have a machshava mefureshes, daito beferush. So, did I have das to be motziim? But I think the answer to that question is a different one. That that since the shliach tzibur is being appointed, he's playing a certain role as the messenger of the entire tzibur, then he it's assumed that he has done. So even stoma, he may not have the physical, you know, I don't know if we take a neurological picture of his brain, I don't know if he actually thought of emotzi everyone, but it's built into the built into the act. Now it's up to the shomer that he has to have in mind that he'll be yotze by listening to the bracha. Like for example, let's say in Sfiras HaOmer, if the rabbi, whoever says the bracha, the shatz, says it out loud, and he has in mind to be motzi, anybody wants to be yotze with his bracha, that's not enough. You need the person, and that's why the person could go ahead and make his own bracha, because he had in mind not to be yotze. So we need a double kavana. We need the kavana on the part of the mevarech and on the part of the shomer. Havi kemafsik. Not sure why the Mechaber had to say Havi kemafsik. Okay. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Midasasam, from the fact that the Mechaber doesn't qualify this, Mashma de Mayri afilu hayu munachim lefonim kol begodim shalar bekafas shasa broch. Imagine, his wife lays out all these four-quartered garments with tzitzios, And he hasn't yet made the brach, but they're all sitting in front of him. Why is that considered lohaya v'daito?
I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm saying the Rama has after that on top.
Alright, so wait, let me just give me 1 minute before we get to that point. I just want to clarify one point here, that Lechora, it would not be Lohaya Didaito if he's got all the Begadim laid out in front of him. I mean, he's not stupid, you know, he plans to put on these Begadim and he made a Bracha, then for sure he had in mind for all these Begadim. Again, it might not have been Mefurash, but it's Didaito. So what does he mean? Oh, so he adds the following clause, the following proviso: Myrishu Rogil Krak Lilbosh Achas. He only wears one beged. But on this particular occasion, I don't know, he or his wife brought out another beged. Al Kevis Tomein Ola Bracha Lekulam. If he's not Rogil to wear more than one beged, then his bracha by definition is on the one beged that he has. So what happens now when his wife puts out other begadim? Is one bracha enough for all of them? And the answer is, we go back to regilus, and since regilus is that he only wears one begadim, and he didn't have das for the other begadim. It's really interesting because, in a sense, it's shnei ksuma machishim, says it. It's like a steerer here, because on the one hand, he's got all the begadim laying out there. What are they doing there? On the other hand, on a normal basis, if it wasn't today, he would not be wearing more than one begad. So how do you reconcile that? I mean, the nafkamina is going to be in the case of stam. Let's say he doesn't have any das one way or the other. You know, he doesn't have das that he's only going to put on one begad. But on the other hand, he didn't have a positive das that he's going to be putting on the second begad as well. So the Mishnah Berurah says, in such a case, it goes by regilus. If he doesn't have specific intention to be yotze the second levisha with this same bracha, then it means that he's going with his dover rogil. You know, on an old basis, he doesn't wear two begad.
I said you're looking at my answer, but it seems like the das has to be on the seder. What he puts on first and second and third as well. And that's, I think, a big problem.
Means seder, if he's just pointing out that, you know, he removes one beged even before he put on the other beged. So how do you carry over his bracha from the first beged over to the second beged if he's already taken off? He stripped himself of the beggar. That's what I think the Rama is going to address. But this Mishnah Berurah is addressing a fascinating question, that he's not rogil to wear more than one talis. But on the other hand, when he looked at all these talisim, he didn't have in mind that his bracha should be chal on all the talisim. So how do we reconcile this? So he says, man, at the end of the day, if he doesn't have in mind that the bracha should be chal vis-a-vis all the begadim, then he's going to have to make a bracha on each beggar. And why is that? Because he never wears more than one beged. So if he never wears more than one beged, his machshava when he made the bracha, his kavanah is always on one beged. You know, now he wants to wear the other beged, then fine. You know, you'll decide what you have to do. So that's the language of the Mishnah Berurah, and he says, "Alkein b'stama ein ola habracha leklum." Ella in Kane Hoya Daito Alayam Beferush, if he does, on the contrary, if he had das for all of Godu, one bracha will suffice for all of Godu. For Hu Adin in Berech Al Talis Katan. Oh, this is interesting. We weren't exactly sure whether you make a prayer of bracha on a Talis Katan. But he's saying that if he makes a bracha on a Talis Katan and he says Al Mitzvah Tzitzis, that's our minute. The lokach miyad atalus gadol imoye daito beferish liftar al the al mitzvahs ain't so chlachso levorch. You hear what he's saying? He puts on the talus cut and he has a bracha in mind. I mean, I'm sorry, he recited bracha and he immediately puts on his talus gadol. Well, he didn't have das when he put on his talis katan that he was going to put on the talis katan. But im hayadaita beferish liftar be'al mitzvahs, liftar be'al mitzvahs, is ein tzarech lachzor ulevarech. Is there a big chiddush here? That's what I'm trying to figure out. He had in mind that he makes a bracha on al mitzvah sitzes on the small talis, and now he also had in mind on the talis gadol. So assuming there was no hesek hadas or shehiyah, whatever it might be, then he doesn't make a bracha on his talis gadol. Now, usually we assume the opposite direction. When you have a bracha on talis gadol, it pops up talis cut. Now he's saying the other way around. And they're two different brachas, but he says al mitzvahs could cover him, even as. So is that what he's advocating? You know, we said before a person has to do whatever he can to minimize a bracha shen etzrich. So is the Mishnah Berurah actually recommending that when you put on your talis katan, you make the bracha mitzvahs and have in mind the talis gadol, and you won't make a bracha on the talis gadol? Or is he talking about a b'dievet situation? I don't know. Let's read it again. He says, "Hu adin berech al talis katan al mitzvah sitzus kiminageinu." The lokach miyad talis gadol. He doesn't say yeah b'dayto b'feirish liftar b'al mitzvahs liftar the brach on the talis gadol is ein tzarech lachzor ulevar. Again, I think what he says ein tzarech lachzor ulevar, he means he's not allowed to be chozer ulevar because that would be a brach shen tzrich. But I'm not sure if he's advocating doing this. Let's see what comes next. It says ubistoma, unless he had das, then chozer umevarek, because that's like the case we had before of two begodim. The mistoma ain't daita bal mitzvus kiyam al talis kata. Here it's even clearer, because the bracha that he recited is only a bracha for a talis kata. Ach mikol makom lechatchila bevada yesh lizor shelo levarech. Ah, this was my question. Again, I'm not sure I'm going to understand why he takes this position in answering this question. But I was wondering, would he recommend l'chatchila that when I make the bracha on the talis katan, I should have in mind the talis gadol, which he says b'dievet, if I did, it would work. Why not advocate this l'chatchila and even recommend it as laudatory? Ach mikol makom l'chatchila bevadei lo yesh lizor shelo levarech al talis katan. Oh, mishum gram. What does it mean by gram brocha she'en etzricha? Adarav, he's trying to avoid a brocha she'en etzricha. Bada yeshli yizor shalolva, does go daito, nuvo shteikatask. In other words, for some reason, he's very much in favor of making the brocha on the talis gadol and pattering up his talis katan. Let anyone join? This is the wrong chelek. We should have another chelek somewhere around. But anyway, we're towards the end, so if you don't mind listening,
okay, fine,
yeah, for the last 10-15 minutes.
I don't know what time it is.
Yeah, we usually start at 10:30, but I didn't know you were coming.
Oh, I see. Oh, sorry.
So, but we'll work it out. But anyway, so the Mishnah Berurah is saying that he's in favor of reciting the bracha on the talis gadol and pattering up his brach on the talis katan. But the reverse, he says, is not a good idea. Again, what happened in the reverse situation? So there's l'chatchila b'dievet. He didn't do it the way that Mishnah Berurah would have recommended, but b'dievet, what he had was when he put on his talis katan, he had in mind his talis gadol, which he's going to immediately put on. And if that be the case, he does not make a brach on his talis gadol. Even though they're two different brachas in Nusuf, one is al mitzvah and one is l'sateif, whatever it might be, but nevertheless, al mitzvah sits is enough to cover him on the talis gadol. But he's saying that's not the way he should have done it. If he knew that right after he was putting on his talis katan, he's going to put on his talis gadol, then he says that he should not make a bracha on the talis katan, because that's going to be a bracha shen etzrik. He doesn't need it because he's going to be mevarach on his talis gadol. Now it's a little paradoxical because if he made the bracha, that's not a bracha shen etzrikah because adarava, he's now going to potter up his bracha on the talis gadol. And that's what he said before. So here's a case where he made a bracha on his talis katan. He recited the bracha of al mitzvahs, and then he immediately puts on his talis gadol. And he knew pretty well that he was going to do that. So the Mishnah Berurah says in such a case he does not make a bracha on his talis gadol.
Would that have to be Tokid Edim, or is that a matter?
Excellent question. I mean, before we had a discussion about how much time would have to pass in order to be a hefsek. But I believe that he said, let's just remind myself, that shesika is not a hefsek. Yeah, that's machlok shin ramah and the Magen Avraham, but we're going to pass like the Magen Avraham. That shtika is not a hefsek. Again, you have to avoid it lechatchila, but with the evidence, it's not a hefsek. Again, that's all conditioned on the fact that he wasn't Mesiach Das. Okay, fine. But let's say he wasn't Mesiach Das. And then he says, afilu shoa harbe yosem ikedei dibur. As long as he didn't speak, it was only shtika. Then we're going to rely on the Magen Avraham that hefsek of shehiya, as opposed to hefsek shehiya, meaning shtika, as opposed to Sicha is not a hefsek. So again, my question is the following: given the fact that if he made a bracha on his talis katan, he does not make a bracha on his talis gadol, right? If he had this all planned and he orchestrated, then why does the Mishnah Berurah then say that his bracha on a talis katan is a bracha sheinu tzricha? As if to imply that he's going to make another bracha on the talis gadol when he just finished telling you that in this case you don't make a bracha on the talis gadol. So let's read again. He says, that if he intends to put on his talis gadol, he should not make a bracha on his talis gadol. Mishum gram bracha shein etzricha. What do you mean bracha shein etzricha? He just finished telling us that in this case he doesn't make a bracha on the talis gadol. Where's the bracha shein etzricha?
On the talis cotton.
Why? But the talis cotton's bracha is gonna patter him up for the talis gadol. How can you call that a bracha shein etzricha? He's not gonna make a second bracha. You know, if you're talking about bracha shein etzricha, it means he will make the second bracha. Maybe he means he's talking about an amoret, so to speak, who will make the second bracha, and therefore we have to warn him not to make the bracha on the talis cotton. But if he would ask us halach lamaisa for a horah, I made the bracha on the talis katan, I would tell him not to make a bracha on the talis gadol. Because otherwise you're making your bracha on the talis katan into a bracha shen etzricha. We don't want to do that. Now what happens in lavash talis below bedika? He unfortunately did not check out the talis. Umatza osa pasul. Again, to find a psul in a talis is not easy. But he found a psul in the talis. Oshenifsalu tzitzioso. I don't know what the first case was. Matza osa posel. Posel means that one of the corners is rounded or something like that. Or alternatively, he checks the tzitzios and there are not enough tzitzios. Now he puts on a different beggar. It's like the Sefer Torah case, right? You find this a psul in the Sefer Torah, and now they bring another one, a replacement. Do you have to make a bracha on the second sefer? So he says the following: the akach lovesh talis, talis acher, is sarach levarach pam acheres. Why? Im lo haya v'daito b'feirish b'sas bracha al kol mashiyil b'shachika. So let's say I get called up for an aliyah, then I have in mind that whatever sefer Torah I need, my bracha should be chala that sefer Torah. So if I have in mind that any talis that I will wear, if it turns out that the talis that I put on first was posel, then the bracha covers the second talis.
I mean, automatically. You have in mind automatically.
Again, only if you have it in mind. I mean, he's not going to allow this in the case of stomach. But I'm just saying, I think he's encouraging us to have in mind when we make the bracha that in event chas v'shalom that you find that this psulia, that your bracha should carry you for the second replacement beggar. That's what he says at the end here. Then he's okay. So it sounds to me like he's advocating. Again, on the one hand, we had a whole discussion about Bedikas Tzitzis. You know, he's really a big, he's a big machmir, the Mishnah Berurah, and Bedikas Tzitzis. I mean, he says that not only you're bodik the tzitzios, remember you're bodik the nekev, to make sure that the tzitzios are going properly through the nekev. And he basically says that you have to check the tzitzis every day, maybe as an exception if you lock up your talus right after you take it off, but that's only if you check it again at the end of the tefillah. So it's not enough that you checked it before the tefillah. Super duper chumrus. But yet he does admit that in a case where he did not make a bdika, it works. He found his talus to be possible, he's not going to make another bracha. Now the only thing that's left for us in the last few minutes is this Ramah. The Ramah says, "V'chein im poshat harishon kodesh shalavash hasheni." In other words, there's a conduit here, an agent that's going to link up his bracha with the second talus, and that's called the levisha, the first talus. But what did he do now? He put on the first talus, then he took it off, and now he's wearing the second talus. Is tzarech lachzor ulevarach? Why? So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Lamed Aleph, in Poshat, Hachronim cholkim al zo sfirlu da pshita lo havi hefsek. Pshita means taking it off. It's not a hefsek. L'kuli alma. What's the source for this Ramah? He says that later on we're going to have a case where pshita is a hefsek. And that's because lohaya daito b'shas bracha shiafshitenu v'yachzor v'yilbash aval hocha haya daito b'shas bracha al levishas habeged hasheni. Let's read it one more time. First of all, which achronim is he quoting? He's quoting the Levush, the Magen Avraham, the Grod, it's a who's list, a long group of achronim that disagree with the Ramah. And even though he stripped himself of the first beged, he doesn't have to make a bracha on the second beged, because pshita itself, taking off the beged, is not a hefsek. The Machaber says later on that pshita is a hefsek. That case over there is lo hoya b'dayta b'shas ha-bracha shiyafshitena. He didn't have in mind at the time of the bracha that he would take off the first beged. I don't get it. There's some sort of daito here on pshita. You know, taking off a beggar, is that called a hefsek or not? It all depends on what your das was. I would have said that if it's a hefsek, it's a hefsek. I mean, let's say, for example, he wants to know who won the tennis match, right? So he puts on one beggar and he asks his friend, who won the tennis match? Then he puts on another beggar. He would certainly need another bracha. Well, he's going to say, but I had in mind when I made the first bracha that I would ask him when he comes by who won the tennis match. But that doesn't make any sense. So, either pshita is a hefsek or it's not a hefsek. If it's not a hefsek, then even if he didn't have in mind that he would be poshe, he should be yotze with the second, the bracha would cover him for the second levisha of the post pshita. If, on the other hand, pshita is a hefsek, what difference does it make if he has in mind that I'm going to be poshe? So you see that the Mishnah Berurah, in the name of all these achronim, a very impressive list, is holding that pshita is in this middle category. It's not a real bona fide hefsek like talking about the tennis courts. It still is within the context of levisha. You know, it's as if he wants to know which beged he should wear. You know, his wife is going to tell him, well, you know, this beged doesn't match. You know, it's too this, it's too that. So that if he had in mind that he might actually take off this. Let's say it's cold out, but he doesn't know how cold it is. Does he need a second beged? So he thinks it's only it's only 20 degrees, and therefore he can get away with one beged. Then he finds out it's 10 degrees, and he has to take off the beged. That's called a pshita. But if he had in mind from the beginning that you know what, let's see what happens. I'm going to put it on, let's see how warm I get, and if I'm very warm, I don't need another bagel.
If you do,
I'll take off the first.
You do Rav Scheinberg.
We spoke about it before.
If you wear one Taz cotton, you make a brocket, right?
Right.
If you wear another Taz cotton, do you make a brocket the second one?
It depends.
At the same time.
It depends. If you had in mind that when you made the brach on the first bagel, you're going to be putting on a second bagel and a third and a fourth, you don't have to make a new brach.
Uh-huh.
And the Mishnah Berurah advocates that you should have it in mind, because otherwise it's going to be a brach sheni tzufa.
Yeah, I find the whole thing very unusual anyway, vis-a-vis brachas, because sitzes you don't have to wear in the first place. You only put
sitzes. It's all a rishus.
It's only rishus, yeah.
So what do you find odd? The fact maybe that you would wear more than one bagel?
Yeah,
that is odd. Yeah, why shouldn't it be yotzu with one bagel? I was pointing out to Reuven before that what I find odd is that if he didn't have in mind the second bagel, he has to make a bracha on the second bagel.
Right.
Why does he have to make a bracha on the second bagel? He was already yotzu with the first bagel. So that's what we came up with, this theory that tzitzis is a mitzvah not only on the gavra, but it's also on the tzitzis themselves. Every time you wear that beged, it becomes obligated in tzitzis, and therefore there's a new bracha for every single beged. But again, just like in the case of shechita, we have many animals to shecht. If you had in mind at the shechita, the first one, you don't have to make a bracha on all the others. The same thing applies to many begadim. And the Mishnah Berurah says, I'm going to advocate that you have in mind for all the other begadim, because a person has to do whatever he possibly can to avoid multiple brachas. Otherwise, if he didn't take an advantage of a mechanism which would exempt him from a bracha, it becomes a bracha sheni tzricha. Even though Lamaisa, if he didn't have a mind for the second bracha, he's going to have to make the bracha. But we're not happy about it, because you could have avoided that bracha. Now you're in a situation where you're going to have to make the bracha because you didn't have it in mind. So there's no way out. You know, you can't say, well, it's a bracha sheni tzricha. It's not a bracha sheni tzricha because you had in mind the first bracha and not the second bracha. But if you know that you're going to be wearing more than one bagel, then you should have in mind at the time of the bracha that the bracha should cover you for the second bagel. Otherwise, it becomes a bracha sheni tzricha. That's the Mishnah. Okay, then, so let's make a note of where we got to. I always, Reuven knows my style. I always make a note, then I forget the note. But we're up to Yud Gimel. Then maybe that's not so hard to remember, because there are 13 years a person comes to bar mitzvah. There are 13 principles of the faith. And in the Chagadi, I think there are 13 Chagadis. So we'll be able to remember that we're up to Sif Yud Gimel.
People wear it Talis Kotel bar mitzvah, and for the first 13 years we'll be only wearing Talis Kotel.
What kind of sifrits are we coming to?
What's the shear, you mean?
Yeah, what's the shear?
We didn't get to that yet. It's coming around the bend, but the shear basically is subjective. It's relative. It depends on how big you are.
The bagel, you mean, or the shear?
Sure, the bagel,
yeah. Right, because if you're a tall guy, you're going to need more of a shear than a short guy. It's kidei ituf rov gufo. Now again, we're going to talk about a talis gadol and a talis katan. You know, the shear of a talis katan is going to be, let's say, amal amal, but the shear of a talis gadol is going to be.
I got bullshit. That comes out like this. So I have
our. Oh, you're asking a different question. That's a really relevant question. You know, what happens if part of his begging is attached and part of his begging is not attached? Then I think it has to do with rove and mute. That's a whole different shear. That if it's open rubo, then it's like it's kulo open, and therefore it becomes a beged atalik kafis. But if most of the beged is sewn up, then that's going to be a whole different story. I thought you were talking about the size of the beged.
No.
You're talking about the size of the opening of the beged that splits the front of the beged from the back of the beged. Yeah, I think that also will get up to. I think, if I remember correctly, I haven't learned this in a long time.
It's the majority.
It's a great chazar from the office. Okay, gentlemen. So we have an Ian Shearing Subis that'll take place in about an hour from now.
Oh, you're not having a Sanhedrin?
Oh, Sanhedrin? You're not on my list!
Past 10.
Oh, no.